everyone, to Authors on the Air. I'm your host, Pam Stack. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. This is the first of two shows on today, Monday, January 14. I hope you all are enjoying the start of your week. Before we get started with my guest today, I'd like to tell you about a few books that have released, and I hope that you go and check them out. You can find them on my Facebook page. Gavin Rees has released The Absolver Rome. High Brazil really is the title of the book released by Robert Kearns. Nancy Gerber released A Way Out of Nowhere. Bradley Charbonneau released Spark. I highly recommend this book. It's How to Write a Book with Your Children. It's fantastic. Melissa McClone released Carter's Cowgirl. Laurie Boris released The Kitchen Brigade. Scary looking cover. Megan Scherer released Holistic Habits for Mental Health. I'll be speaking to her soon. And Jeff Hess just put his new book, No Salvation, up on pre-order. So check that out. Will Graham's new book is called Vegas Nights. I'm very honored today to have with me New York Times bestselling author Brad Taylor. Brad and I met at Thriller Fest, I think it was, wasn't it, Brad? Thriller Fest?
It was.
In New York last summer, and I invited him to be my guest, but really had to wait for his book to come out. The new book is called it's a Pike Logan thriller, by the way, Daughter of War. Welcome to Authors on the Air, Brad Taylor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Congratulations on your very successful book tour. I looked at some of the pictures from your page, and I noticed that all your venues were packed. And that people really enjoyed talking to you, and you seem to really enjoy talking to your audience.
Yeah, I really do enjoy. I mean, the book tours are definitely tiring because you're in a different city every day. One day I had a 3:30 in the morning. You know, I had to wake up at 3:30 pick up. But once you get in front of the fans, then it's just you just get energized because they really love the books and they want to talk about the books and they always have interesting questions. It doesn't matter where
tell
I go.
Me, tell
you know,
me some
a
of
lot
the
of times
questions
you get the same question
you.
Over and over.
Right. Well,
some of the standbys you always get is there going to be a movie or how'd you start writing that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then you get some questions that they're kind of off the wall. That I haven't figured out yet. Like, what's Pike and Jennifer's relationship going to be in the future? Where are you going with this? I don't even know that yet. I'm trying to figure
you
that out
know.
Right now.
You're trying to develop those characters. How will you know where they go? You have
right.
to be in the moment when you're writing your book. Do you ever get any negative feedback when you are on tour?
No, not at all. I mean, I can't imagine that somebody would come to a book signing. That's not true. I have gotten negative feedback from somebody who thought I was somebody else. I'm like, I think you're in the wrong spot.
Oh, no. Uh-oh, did you not notice the picture on the back of the book and me?
Right.
That's funny.
He confused me with someone else, and he catcalled
exactly.
from the crowd, and I was like, what are you talking about?
There you go. All right, well, we're going to have to do a match and see who you resemble that someone would do that to you. But that's funny. I read with great interest your website. It's fascinating. For those of you who do not know, you can go to bradtaylorbooks.com. You have a lot of information on your website, and it seems to me that you really like to write a lot. You just really like to write. Your pages are filled with blogs and author notes and news and all kinds of really interesting things. But you said you've always wanted to write books. You wanted to be in the military, and you did that. And, we're not going to talk about specifically what you did, but thank you so much for your service to our country. Are you obsessed with writing now, Brad, since you've started?
No, I don't think so. I've actually backed down a little bit.
Really?
I initially started writing just because I had basically a bucket list goal of mine. I was in a special mission unit, Special Forces at Fort Bragg, and I came down to teach at the Citadel as a break, and when I got here, I just left that life to the new life. I had an enormous amount of time on my hands, and so I told my wife I was going to write a book. I tell you, but I want to do that too. And so I've kind of slowed down from to 2 books a year.
Excuse me for 1 second. I want to let everybody know you're on a cell phone in a very remote area. So if it sounds like it's broken up, it's not Brad's fault. He's just come back.
Am
from
I breaking
tour
up?
And a little bit, you know. So it's I just want to let everybody know it's not your fault. You know, you're not running away or anything like that. So one book, your books are big. I mean, these are nice, well, action-packed, but there's nothing small about your books, almost 400 pages in the new one. And, boy, I'll tell you what, Roger,
yeah,
heartbeats
I always,
too.
I always get myself in trouble with that. So I have in my mind's eye where I'm going to go with it. And like the last book, Operator Down,
uh-huh.
I was running a little bit late, and my wife said, I said, hey, I've got it. I've got the ending. And she said, good, so you'll be done, you know, in a couple of days. And I said, no, unfortunately, that ending is going to be quite a few pages before I get to it. And it was kind of the same thing with this one.
So when you go in to start right, you're obviously not an outliner. You may take notes or make notes to yourself because you really don't know your ending or how you're going to your ending. I'm assuming from the way you're describing writing this one and the previous one, it's kind of organic for you.
No, actually it's, I would say my whole writing career has been an evolution because I've never taken any writing classes. I've never had any instruction in writing. So from the first book to this book, it's been a different type each time. Generally, I do what I call a framework. I don't do an outline, but I do what I call a framework, which is
mm-hmm.
I understand the threat, I understand the arc of the story, but I certainly don't understand what's going to happen in between. And by book five, I would have said 100% of the time, I understand how it's going to end. By book 13, which Daughter of War is, I would tell you it's probably 70% of the time I know how it's going to end. This book was the first time that everything really changed. The initial title for this book was Shadow Strike for the longest time.
Hmm.
And the plot and the themes and all that were the same, except I started – Amina was just – the refugee was just supposed to kick the story off.
Right.
And I wrote her scenes in Monaco, and by the time I got to the aquarium in Monaco, I was like, I'm going to have her throughout the entire book. And it changed the
wow.
entire focus of the book. She became the heart of the book. And which was a dual-edged sword there because, number one, once she intersects with Pike, which is where she was supposed to exit stage left, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do with her, but that's where she was supposed to end, now she has to carry the plot forward. She can't just be tagging along behind Pike. So I had to figure out some way, how does a 13-year-old refugee know have some kind of skill that counter-terrorist commando Pike does not have? And that was kind of a hair-pulling thing to keep her engaged and in her not just be, you know, a kid tagging along.
Right. It's a clever, I have to say, it's a very clever way that she's integrated into the story and really drives your story in many ways. So I was surprised by it. It's not something I would have expected. And that's, you know, a good thing for someone who reads as much as I do. And
yeah, I was surprised too.
Yeah. Well, but isn't that nice? Now, you know, you talked about when you first started writing, your first book was published in 2011, I believe I read.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you notice that your process has changed, but are you a better writer, do you think?
Oh, I'm definitely a better writer. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
How
I'm
do
a
you
fairly
know that?
Quick learner. I mean, I'm a reader first. I can read my stuff and see if it's crap. I mean,
really?
I write what I would like to read. Oh, certainly. I mean, there's when I'm pulling the edges off a book, I see things that I'm like, nah, I don't like that. I don't like this. I wish I could. I mean, but, you know, sometimes when you're writing, you there's things that have to be in the book. That otherwise, the reader won't understand what's going on. But
mm-hmm.
you want to make whatever has to be in the book should also be interesting. The reader wants to get through that piece. It doesn't. You don't want to bore the reader with some kind of, you know, backstory stuff just to do it.
Right.
And,
right.
My editor, Ben Sevier, was my initial editor, and, you know, my first book, I got a 4-page editorial letter. This book I turned in, and I got a couple of comments in the margin. So, I mean, I know
how
I've
nice.
Grown as a writer.
What do you do for checks and balances in your writing? Do you ever read your dialogue out loud to yourself, or does your wife read it? Or, you know, how do you what do you do? Review it over and over and over again? I mean, because you're looking with the same eyes, And sometimes I realize that even, you know, I'll write an email and think it's pristine, and then I have to go through spell check and find out it's not pristine. And so I'm not a writer like you are. But what are your checks and balances on your own writing?
Mainly what I do is I'll write, I kind of write and then edit and write and edit. So I'll write a section of the book, and when I say section, it could be 2 pages, it could be 100 pages. It depends on how furiously I type stuff. And then I'll go back and edit it, reread it, catching things, you know, that doesn't flow, this doesn't flow. But then my wife is the first reader. I mean, she gets it and reads it. As soon as I'm done with the sheaf of papers, she'll read it, and then she edits it, mainly for, you know, I used to be in the military, so I write this, obviously, military thriller, and I write a lot of military stuff, and I know that anybody who's ever been in the military would read what I wrote and instantly understand it. But I'm not writing
right.
for people
for
in the military.
The military audience,
so,
right.
If my wife can understand it, then I'm good to go. And there'll be several times when she says, I don't understand what's going on here, and I'll have to rewrite that. So after that happens, then I'll send it out. I have some military members that are pre-readers as well, both female and male, and I'll send it to them. And they'll read it and come back with, you know, comments, and I modify it from there. But mainly it's a kind of a gut instinct. When I read something and I want to evoke a certain feeling, if I get the feeling from my own writing because I wrote the thing, then I know I've succeeded. I was just reading, believe it or not, Daughter War. I carry around a spare book in case I screw up on a signing. You know, I spell somebody's name wrong, and then it's like, well, I've ruined their book. I always have one in my bag. I can pull out and say, sorry about that. Here, I'll do this one for you. Well, I was through the tour, so I cracked open the book to read on the way home. And I always surprise myself when I read the book. I'm just going to sound arrogant, but I read a passage and go, wow, did I write that? That's pretty good.
Wow. That's pretty cool. When you do yours, I'm just so curious. When you do your book tours, do you read from your book at all?
No, I never do readings. I just would be too embarrassed. I would just be horribly embarrassed to do that. Yes.
Really? You know, it's really interesting because I was at Bob Crace's book stop over in Palm Beach. And he read from his book, from one of his Elvis book, okay? And I was fascinated the way that he read it versus the way I would read it as a reader. It put kind of a different spin on things for me. So I like to hear readers reading from especially dialogue from their books, because to hear it the way you're intending it to be, to me, is always enlightening. So that's just a personal thing I wanted to mention to you.
I love Robert Crace. He's given some great advice.
Yeah, he's pretty brilliant, isn't he? And listen,
yeah, he is.
You're there too. You guys are in the same league. Yeah, I love his books. He just doesn't write fast enough. I want him to write more.
Right.
Where you're writing less, you want to slow it down a little bit. Brad, I read in your bio that, of course, your military service influenced a lot of the way you write and what you write about. That you obviously you don't go into detail about certain things that could be a threat to the country, and I honor you for that. You've always been a reader, though, haven't you?
I have. I've been a voracious reader my entire life, and that's how I learned to write. It's through reading. I mean, so when I set out to write a book. I mean, sometimes I get asked a question because Pike's in first person and everybody else is in third person in the same book.
Right.
And I get asked by people who have taken a lot of classes on writing and stuff, how'd you know to break that rule? How'd you know to break the rule of going first person to third person? And my answer is, thank God, I didn't know that was a rule. I've read the John Corey books from Nelson DeMille, and he did that. Joseph Fender did it. And I've read their books, and I like how that flowed, so that's what I did. They taught me, not anybody else.
A writer can't write unless they're a reader, can they?
I would hesitate. You know, for the longest time, I never said I was a writer. It wasn't until book 7. When I would walk around, you know, and go anywhere, travel, somebody would say, what do you do for a living? I'd say, I'm a security consultant, because I do a lot of security consulting.
Right.
And I was just too embarrassed to say I was a writer. I would never, ever describe what a writer is. To this day, I kind of feel embarrassed to say I am a writer. I don't know.
Do you understand?
I'm still an amateur.
Book lovers, there are book lovers like me, for whom writers are our celebrities. So I think it's amazing anyone who can write a book. I mean, I don't own a TV, okay? So I read instead. And anybody who can write a book, and your books are really outstanding. I mean, you know, I was looking at your Amazon page. I mean, people love your work. You're just, they go crazy for your books.
Yeah, so, I've been blessed. When I go back to that, when I was talking about writing two books and two short stories a year, I don't know how I did that. Because that's some of my best work. No Fortunate Son is still, actually, Daughter of War, the one that's out now, is in competition for my favorite book of, you know, the one I've written. You can't pick a, you know, you don't pick a favorite son, but it's close. I was, like I said, I was rereading it on the plane today, and I was like, wow, I can't believe I wrote that.
Well, you know, your readers appreciate it, that's for sure. You just have spectacular reviews across the board, so you can't argue with that success. But boy, I say wear it proudly. You know, you're doing great. When you were reading as a youngster, who were some of your writing influences?
I tell you that, that's a question I just got asked on tour. I read everything, so I went through phases. I had I remember in eighth grade I was in a Ray Bradbury phase. I read everything he'd ever written. I read Piers Anthony, the Zant series, read all that. Then I turned into a Stephen King phase, and I read all that. Robert Heinlein. I mean, I've read just about any genre outside of romance, I guess, is probably the only one I haven't read. I just went through phases as a kid and growing up and reading. And now I read murder mysteries, John Sanford, Robert Grace, Michael Connelly.
Right.
That's what I read.
Yep. So do I. But I like all genres too, and I do like romance, and romantic suspense, believe me, can be every bit as thrilling as a military thriller can, if it's well written.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
never picked one up.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. I was deployed to Iraq, and the only books they had inside the PX were romances, and I actually did read a couple of romances because there was nothing else to read.
Well, there's, you know, just like when you say mystery, suspense, thriller, there are a million subgenres there are in romance too. So, are you ever interested in trying another genre like horror, for example?
Like who, for example?
Horror, writing in Stephen King's genre.
Oh,
would
no.
you ever write?
No, I
no.
Think, no, I enjoy writing what I write now. My books are actually kind of swayed by the Robert Crace, John Sanford kind of stuff. So it's what I like to have. It's a military thriller on a grand scale, you know, Tom Clancy, Vince Flynn type thing. But I mean, I always like to have some kind of twist in there of, you know, where's this thing going? And those guys are masters at it, and I enjoy doing that kind of thing. I'd probably not be good at
horror.
I don't think I could scare anybody.
I'm glad you don't write horror, Brad, because I don't read it. It scares the crap out of me. Listen, would you give readers, listeners, a synopsis of this book, please? Just a little bit more than what's in the Amazon description. Just kind of tell everybody, you know, what your intention for this book was.
Well, my initial intention was this whole thing started when I started writing the book, we were going crazy against North Korea. We had fire and fury on our side, and they were testing intercontinental ballistic missiles. And I used to be stationed at First Group on Okinawa, Japan, and my wartime mission was the Korean Peninsula. If they went to war, that's what I was going to do. And so I have a healthy appreciation of what North Korea is capable of, and it just surprised me that from Clinton till the day, they've had 5 tons of chemical and biological weapons, which is a weapon of mass destruction. And we've gone crazy over the nuclear side. And I thought, you know, we really care about nuclear, but it's easier to transfer biological and chemical weapons. It's easier to manufacture. It's easier to teach somebody to make it. Why aren't we worried about that? And I thought that wouldn't it be neat if Kim Jong-un sold biological and chemical weapons to get around the sanctions for his nuclear WMD. And that was a spark of the whole thing. Then as I started writing, as we were talking about earlier, Amina kind of took over, the refugee. And the theme kind of changed. So it went from Shadow Strike. I called my publisher up probably 4 months ago and said, we've got to change the title. It's now Daughter of War. The entire theme of this book's changed. although the overarching plot did not, the theme did.
Right. But I like that title. I think it's appropriate. It's unusual. It leaves it open to, I think, a wider genre and a wider demographic of readers who maybe are going to try something different. It's a good book. It's a really good book. It's well-titled. I like the cover art. You know, it's a standout book. What's next on your agenda?
Well, I just came back right before the book tour. We were down in Brazil doing book research for the next book. And the next book's going to be set down in Brazil. And it's kind of the daughter of war for the first time. Not the first time, I guess. Enemy of Mine kind of flowed from the first book. So this book is going to flow into this one. Basically, somebody's figured out that Glory Recovery Services, which is Pike Logan's cover organization, is not what it appears to be. And they fear that that Pike Logan's group is trying to interfere with their operations, when in fact it's just a coincidence they happen to be in the same country at the same time. And it starts to be Hunter versus Hunter.
You're going to continue to write Pike Logan?
I am at this stage. I've kicked around ideas for, I mean, if I did write something different, it would be a spinoff. Aaron and Shoshana are two Mossad Israeli operatives, assassins, basically.
Right.
And they've appeared in, I think if I counted up, probably four books, maybe five. They're in this one that I'm writing right now. They weren't in Daughter of War. So if I did a spinoff, some people have asked for a Knuckles spinoff, and some people have asked for that spinoff. That would be the nearest I would leave. I'm not going to, you know, reset and write. I want to write what I understand. I want to write what I know.
Sure.
So when I write about special operations and things like that, I can accurately describe that. If you're going to write a scene about riding a bicycle, you'd think about the last time you rode a bike. If you want a scene about shopping in a grocery store, you'd think about your local grocery store.
Sure.
So when I write a scene about special operations, I have something to fall back on. I know what's real and what's not, how this would work, and what would really happen. So if I, you know, shifted gears completely and say you wrote a medical thriller, I'd be laughed off the stage because there's no way I could compete with somebody who's a doctor.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for taking so much time with me today. I know you're exhausted from a very successful book tour. Listeners, the book is called Daughter of War. The author is Brad Taylor. You can find him online at Brad Taylor Books. And where are you in social media, Brad, please?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, all of them with Brad Taylor Books as a tag. And
okay.
the website itself, bradtaylorbooks.com.
Right. And Brad's published through Dutton. You can find his books everywhere in brick and mortar stores and online. Please go and check this book out. I promise you won't be disappointed. Brad, thank you so much for spending time with me on a chilly evening right after book tour. And come back again soon when your next book comes out, okay?
It definitely will. Thank you very much for having me, Pam. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Brad. Have a great evening. And that's our show, folks. Thanks so much for being with us. And thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night.